Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I am Rick Hughes, the host of this show. I'd like to invite you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. It could be the most important 30 minutes of your life. Our show is about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it all without any manipulation. It means we're not here to play games and not here to use gimmicks, not here to play with your emotions, don't need your money. We're just here to talk about the Word of God in simple layman terms so you can understand it and hopefully so that you can apply it into your life. No games, no gimmicks, just truth. Remember this, whenever you're listening to the Word of God taught, it's never the man that's important, it's always the message. The message, the content of the Scripture is the truth. That's where the truth is, not in the package that brings it. You can be the best-looking joker in town, have pearly white teeth and beautiful blue eyes and sandy blonde hair and stand up and speak and utter sweet phrases of I love you and praise the Lord, and the biggest bunch of garbage the world has ever seen could flow out of your mouth. Not true. Untruth. As you mislead people into believing that, for example, here's a good example, that you're saved by being good. You're saved by being nice. That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks in the evil concept of evil. Yes, our show is called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, forward line of troops. And that stands for the military acronym of placing the Word of God in the forward compartments of your soul so you can keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. Many believers get stress in their soul because of sin. They don't know how to deal with sin. They don't know how to handle sin. And they constantly do the same sins over and over and over again. And they think, if I was really saved, would I do this? And then Satan tells them, no, you're not really saved. They have a lack of eternal security. They don't really believe that God forgives them when they confess it. And so they get disillusioned with themselves. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do with you. He wants you to get disillusioned with yourself. He wants you to think that you are no good. And if he can get you thinking that, then he's got you defeated. Now let me ask you a question. If you were no good, why has God left you here? Why didn't God take you home? If you're of no use to God, why are you still alive? But you are useful to God. God has a plan for your life, and you are still alive, and you are still in the loving arms of God. It's time you got with the program spiritually. It's time you started to grow in grace. It's time you started to seize the spiritual initiative in your life and become the man or the woman that God intended for you to be and quit playing games. Quit being controlled by your emotions and manipulated by evil. It's time for you to learn the Word of God. It's time for you to live in the basis of humility and spiritual growth so that you can bring maximum glorification to God by what you think and what you do, even what you say, because you say it in a right way. You do it in the right way, and you think it in the right way. And so that's why we're talking about these things that we're dealing with here on the Flatline. This is an unusual radio show. Unusual in the fact that we're not asking for money, yes, but unusual in the fact of the amount of the content of the truth that we're giving you here. Sooner or later, it's going to cause a problem. Someone's going to complain. Someone's going to gripe. Someone's going to, you know, they have to attack sooner or later. Probably sooner than later, but so far, no attacks. But I love to hear from you. Love to hear if you want to write to me. You may feel free to do so. At the end of the show, you'll get the address, or you can just simply go to the internet and type in your web browser, bigrick.org, bigrick.org. That's our website. And you can email me directly from the website. And I would love to hear from you. Love to know who's listening. It surprises me sometimes when I get letters from people in Pinson or Steele or out in those areas, and they're listening. Across Birmingham, many of you that I know are personal friends, and you're listening on your way to church this morning. Very grateful that you're listening and for your prayer support as we continue this ministry, as long as God opens this door. Now, we want to talk about another enemy of the soul today. We've talked about sin. We've talked about arrogance. We've talked about evil. One of the things that runs hand in hand with evil The sister of evil is emotion. And I want to talk to you about the validity of emotion in religion today. That's what I want to talk to you about. I want to help you see this. I hope I can help you see this. Now, this is something different, something you've probably never heard anyone say to you before. But remember that all of us have a sin nature. You know that. I have one and you have one. I can prove it by simply telling you that no one set you down and taught you how to lie. No one set you down and taught you how to lose your temper. These are things inherently that you do on your own without having learned them from anybody because they're all part of your sin nature. Your lust you inherit, but evil you must acquire, you must learn. Evil is a system. It's the genius of Satan, and you have to learn it and operate under it. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, Satan has ministers that teach it. He has a false communion table. Satan has a false doctrine called doctrine of demons, and people, even believers in Jesus Christ, learn this false doctrine and operate under this false doctrine, and they are called enemies of the cross in the Bible. Now, one thing you have to remember, that emotion, like your sin nature, resides in the body of the believer, not in your soul, in your body. See, there's three of you in there. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Your body, that is your human life. That's what God gave you at birth. He gave you human life. And God gave you a soul. And your soul has mentality and volition. Your soul has a conscience and self-consciousness. And you have a spirit. The reason you have to be born again is you're born spiritually dead and separated from God. But when you believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, then you are born again spiritually. And your human spirit is brought back to life. That dead, dormant human spirit that was infected with the sin of Adam is resuscitated by God the Holy Spirit when He indwells you. And spiritually, you're made alive again. It's a spiritual birth. And so now you have a physical birthday and a spiritual birthday if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Now inside of your body is the sin nature. It's in the very genes of your body. The Bible says, "For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death has been passed on to all, for all have sinned." You see, Adam is the father of sin. In our way of understanding things from the Bible, he was the first deliberate sinner. And that sin of Adam, when you are born, is imputed to you, and you die spiritually because, as in Adam, all die. It's in your body. And this is why Jesus Christ, most people don't even know this, this is why Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin. No man could have anything to do with the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, or he would have also inherited an old sin nature. He did not have an old sin nature. He was like the first Adam, created free of sin. The Bible even calls him the second Adam. But unlike the first Adam who chose to sin, our Lord Jesus Christ chose not to sin. The reason that he could go to the cross and die as our personal substitute is because he who knew no sin was made sin for us. That was the sacrifice that Christ made on your behalf. So that old sin nature resides in your body. It's in the very cell structure of your body. And when you have children, you pass on your old sin nature to your children. Emotions, like the sin nature, reside in the body. They reside in the body. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, I could get rid of your emotions. I could give you a prefrontal lobotomy. And you would have no more emotions. You'd just sit in a corner and drool in your shoe all day. You wouldn't feel anything. Doesn't mean you wouldn't exist. Sure, you would exist, and sure, you would live, but you wouldn't have any emotions. Emotions are in the body, not in the soul. But both emotions and the sin nature are manipulated by Satan. And the wonderful thing about this is that when you die and get your resurrection body, your sin nature and those emotions are going to rot in the ground together. When you go to heaven, and you're going to be in heaven in a resurrection body, you're not going to be celebrating emotionally. See, if it could be emotional, then you could have emotional highs and emotional lows. And the Bible tells you there are no more tears and no more pain and no more sorrow in heaven. Is there joy in heaven? Yes, but that's not the kind of joy. It's not the joy, thump, 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 emotional joy you're talking about. It's an appreciation for the character and the righteousness of God. Remember what the Bible said in Hebrews 12 about our Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Now, you think he was having fun hanging out on the cross? It's not the joy you're thinking about. The joy is to be in the presence of God and know you're doing exactly what you should be doing. So the soul is not the seat of your emotions. And knowing that emotions accompany the sin nature, it should reinforce the danger that's inherent in living by your emotions. When you live by your emotions, you will react to pressure. When you live by the truth of the Word of God, you will respond to pressure. When you let your emotions rule and reign in your life, if someone does something you don't like, you'll retaliate. When you let the Lord Jesus Christ rule and reign in your life, when someone does something you don't like, you'll forgive them, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:31. Read it for yourself. It's in the Bible. So emotion. You have to learn this about emotion. When we're emotional, we're not thinking. When we're emotional, we're not thinking. Therefore, when we allow emotions to control our thoughts, we're allowing our sin nature to control our thoughts. And sin is a symptom of rejecting the truth of the Word of God. Oftentimes, I've bought things under emotional impulse. Many, many times when you're looking for a new ticket item, some big item like an automobile or a television or whatever, people do everything they can to emotionally stimulate you to do it now because they know if you leave and if you think about it, you probably won't buy it. And so they try to seize the moment and get you to act on impulse. Emotion is non-rational. And an emotional Christian can only retreat from reality because he does not know the reality of the Word of God. The only thing the emotional Christian knows is the rah-rah-rah claptrap that he goes through. The emotions of going to church and getting high on Jesus, singing, praising, worshiping, they call it. And that's all fine. No problem with it. As long as there's equal amount of time to teaching of the Word of God. Because you grow spiritually by listening to the teaching of the Word of God, not by singing songs and clapping your hands and waving, you know, back and forth in your pew. And unfortunately, many of the churches that I've spoken in, and I've spoken in some large churches, I couldn't get the song leader to shut up long enough for me to teach the Word of God. Between the song leader wanting to lead everybody in four or five songs, and the praise and worship team wanting to sing four or five songs, and the special solo artist wanting to sing a song, by the time I was able to get into the pulpit to teach the Word of God, there was 15 minutes left. Might as well just went home. There's not much you can say in 15 minutes. Oh, I can hear you now. If you were a good preacher, you could say it in 15 minutes. Right. Next time you go fishing, take a 15-minute trip and go home, okay? Tell yourself you had a good time. Next time you go to a good movie, watch 15 minutes worth of it and go home and tell yourself, that was a great movie. You're kidding yourself. And the teaching of the Word of God must take priority. When you go to a church and sit down, you are there for one reason and one reason only, and that's to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the way you worship God is by growing. God doesn't need you to sing songs to Him and tell Him, how glorious He is. He already knows how glorious He is. He would like to see you grow up a little bit. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you say, well, I grow up, I go home, and I read my Bible at night. Oh, really? Well, the Bible is not a novel. It's a textbook. You can read it through. I mean, people say, I read the Bible through three times in the last 2 years. Wonderful. What did you learn? Well, I must have learned something. I read the Bible through. And you can ask them a question. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. Until you find a qualified pastor and you sit under the authority of that man in a local church, under academic discipline, you will never grow up spiritually. I'm telling you like it is. You might not like it, but that is the way it is. That's why God ordained the local church. That's why God gave men with a spiritual gift of pastor teacher. And unless these men who have this gift understand that it is critical that they study and teach the Word of God, then the people that are members of their congregation will never grow up. And they will all show up at the judgment seat of Christ, minus any rewards, and ashamed. And that's why Paul said, I speak this to your shame. Jesus told the church at Laodicea, you think you're rich, but I'm counseling you to buy from me gold tried in the fire. You need to put some eye salve on and see yourself as you really are. Emotion is very dangerous. Emotion is nothing but smelly, human viewpoint garbage wrapped up in the feel-good paper and colorful ribbon streamers. Emotion has no nutritional value, and it will not produce any muscle on your soul. It'll drain everything out of your soul. But God says that the emotional believer is a seasick child, queasy from lack of the Word of God in his soul. You think I'm making that up? Listen to as I read to you what the Word of God says. The emotional believer is a seasick child, queasy from lack of the Word of God in his soul. I'm going to read to you from the Bible, Ephesians 4:14. In order that we no longer be immature or seasick from the lack of stability from Bible doctrine. That we no longer be immature, driven out of control by every wave of false doctrine, and blown here and there by every wind of false doctrine, by the trickery of men who in cunning craftiness carry out their deceitful plotting, but instead by practicing the teaching of the Word of God in association with virtue love, we are able to grow up in every way through the Word of God with respect to Him who is the absolute authority, and that person is Christ. You see, a believer out of fellowship with God, he's called a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian, he's at the mercy of the winds of false doctrine. He doesn't know truth if it stared him in the face. And so he goes to a church where everybody feels good and clap, 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 happy, 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 and they pat him on the back and tell him how glad they were to have him, and he feels like he found a home. And he goes and he joins up, and after a while he realizes he can't live up to the expectations of these people because he can't get that happy every Sunday. He has to fake it for a while, or he's not very spiritual because he wasn't happy, happy, happy like everybody else was. The preacher's happy, the song leader's happy, or everybody sitting around him happy. They all got the joy, joy, joy. How come I'm not happy? The original Greek language of the Word of God. It's where you'll find the answers. A spiritual child, any believer, regardless of his age, who's just beginning to fill up his soul with the Word, is a destabilized ship in high seas. That's what Ephesians 4:14 says. Destabilized ship in high seas, and he is incapable of intelligent action in his life until he learns something. See, he's incapable of rational thought because he doesn't have the Word of God. He doesn't have the divine viewpoint of the Word of God in his soul. The original Greek language of those particular verses says that the believer who doesn't know doctrine or the Word of God is shooting craps with the devil, and the devil has loaded the dice. See, if you rely on momentary emotional highs to sustain yourself, the problem with that is the higher you go, the further you'll fall. Ephesians 5:16 says, because of this, that's evil in the church, stop becoming non-thinkers, Ephesians 5:16. Stop becoming non-thinkers. What's a non-thinker? He's a person driven by emotions. But continue to become spiritually intelligent about the will of God. You'll say, where are you getting these things from? I'm reading them out of the Bible. Many of them are what I call a modified, expanded translation from the original language. Write to me if you have a question. I'll be glad to give you the answer. Of course, you have to understand something. You have to prepare your soul to recognize false doctrine. You have to prepare yourself to recognize it. Anything that I've ever done and been good at it, I had to know what was right and what was wrong. If you take a trip, you better recognize the difference between Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi, or you're going to wind up where you don't belong. That's why you have a road map to lead you the correct way. When you take a wrong turn in your life because emotion said, ooh, look over here, let's go that direction, and then you hit a dead end 10 years later, you've just wasted 10 years of your life, and you don't have 10 years to waste because you only get one shot at it. Now, Satan wants you to rely on emotions because thinking takes up If you think it takes you from Satan's plan, and it makes you receptive to God's plan. So too often, false teachers who may be believers in Jesus Christ, yes, they advise you that you need to feel good, you need to get emotional, that you need to let it out, and that your emotions will explode into action for God. At the same time, our sin nature tries to wheedle us into listening to the emotions of our bodies and not the thinking of our soul. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, yes, my soul was bitter. I was punctured in my emotions. I was foolish and ignorant of doctrine, and I lacked insight. I was as senseless as a beast before you. With your doctrine in my soul, you guide me, and afterwards you take me up to glory. And when the writer of this psalm was ignorant of doctrine, emotions ruled his soul, and he behaved as mindless as any wild beast. But when he recovered his spiritual equilibrium by acknowledging his sin to God and resuming the storage of the Word of God in his soul, I want to say that to you again. Now listen, recovering your spiritual equilibrium. How many people are out of kilter spiritually, out of balance spiritually? Listen, are you? Is it possible that you have lost your spiritual equilibrium? Have you fallen down spiritually? Yes, you're saved. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven, but there's no spiritual growth, no spiritual momentum in your life. You haven't been filled with the Spirit. You haven't been manufacturing divine good in your life. You've been listening to this radio show, and you're saying to yourself, for the first time in my life, I'm beginning to learn something. For the first time in my life, I'm hearing someone is telling me really what the Bible says. No one's ever told me these things before. You are beginning to reacquire balance in your soul. You're beginning to get your spiritual equilibrium back. You've rebounded. You've confessed your sin to God. And now as you learn the Word of God and store it in the compartments of your soul, in your memory center, in your frame of reference, your vocabulary storage, in your stream of consciousness, as the Word of God goes into these places inside of your soul and takes root, you will be able to glorify God to the maximum in your life. So you can be a Medal of Honor winner, a warrior in God's army. But if you depend on emotions to guide you, and you're precariously sustained by the emotional highs of a church that doesn't teach the Word of God, you're going to fall apart under the slightest pressure. Because it's inevitable that pressure in your life will prove intolerable to you. Pressure will prove intolerable unless you have a frame of reference from the Word of God. That's why we have a show called the Flot Line, the forward line of troops, to let you equalize the outside pressure and stabilize it through the inside pressure. In other words, what's on the inside has to be equal to what's on the outside. What's on the inside is the Word of God in your soul. What's on the outside is the attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. There has to be equal stability. If the outside pressure is greater than the inside pressure, then it'll collapse. Then it'll cave in. It'll overrun the compartments of your soul till stress will set up, and you will be in big-time trouble. So at the onset of any emotions, including the emotion of guilt, the emotion of anger, the emotion of hatred, the emotion of boredom, the emotion of arrogance or anxiety, stop and confess it to God immediately and turn back immediately to solid food. Get back to the Word of God. You have to make a conscious effort to put some distance between your soul and the emotions that seek to control your soul. We are emotional creatures. It is in our body, and we are not designed to be controlled and manipulated by emotions. We are designed to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're designed to grow in grace and live off of the problem-solving devices of the Word of God, and we are mandated in the Bible to become Christ-like. He did not let his emotions rule him. He did not live by his emotions. The disciples did, constantly, but not our Lord. And you see, he faced things, and when Satan attacked him in Matthew 4, he didn't panic. Face-to-face with the God of this world, Jesus Christ in humanity, quoted Scripture and defeated Satan in the wilderness. And Satan threw everything he had at him. And he never got emotional. He could have been because he hadn't anything to eat for a long time. And Satan just said, look, I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn that little old piece of rock down there into some bread and eat? Well, is it a sin to eat? No. Would it have been a sin for him to feed himself if he's hungry? Yes. Why? Because he would have sidestepped the plan of God. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit supply his needs, he would have used his deity to sustain his humanity, and that was never allowed. He was not allowed to let his deity to sustain his humanity. Yes, he used his deity to do miracles, and yes, he used his deity to feed people, but he never used his deity to deliver himself. He always depended on the Father, and he demonstrated that you can do the same thing. That's why Christ came, to die for the sins of the world and demonstrate to you that the life he lived, you could live in the power of the Spirit and in the dynamic of the doctrine of the Word of God in your soul. So, remember that. In Isaiah 43:25, I, Christ, even I am he who blots out the transgressions, your transgressions, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. So if Jesus Christ forgets your sins the moment you confess them to him, why do you keep going back? Why do you keep calling them back into your mind? Why are you living full of guilt because of what you did 10 years ago? Why should you continue to feel guilty or bitter about what someone did to you? You want to know why? It's your emotions. That's the reason. And it is the emotions that will destroy your soul. Emotions destroy reasoning. Never settle for the cheap substitute of emotion. Never settle for anything less than the truth of the Word of God in your soul. Because if you operate on the cheap substitute of emotion, you will lose every time. And you will never understand the plan of God. Control of the mentality of the soul ensures control of the emotions of the body. Isaiah 46:8, a word to spiritual believers. Reflect on this doctrine and become confident in your thinking. A word to carnal believers. Come back to your senses, thought, that is, instead of emotion, and come back to right thinking in terms of doctrine, you who operate in opposition to righteous authority. See, Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet of God in a time of great apostasy in the nation of Judah. And Jeremiah described perfectly the difference between a believer who lives his life as unto the thinking of the Lord and one who lives his life as unto emotion. Jeremiah talked about it in Lamentations 3. He, God, has dragged me from the path and pulled me to pieces. He made me desolate. He has drawn his bow and set me as a target for his arrows. See, instead of using God's recovery procedure to take responsibility for his own sin, he blamed God. The writer did here in Lamentations. You can see it. You can read it. Where he blames God for his own failures and sins. Jeremiah blamed God, the author of happiness, for the unhappiness that he brought on himself. Not only is this blasphemy in Lamentations 3:11, but it is utterly and totally stupid and an arrogant waste of time. Don't live your life in stupidity. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and become the man or the woman God intended for you to be. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.